Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And we have in the studio today, we're welcoming back the curator of the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens on the UTEP campus, John White. Welcome back, John.
Thank you, Norma. Thank you, Denise.
Well, guys, today we're going to be talking about trees. And when we think of Arbor Day, we usually think about springtime because that's when it's celebrated across the country. But the state of Texas has established its own Arbor Day, and it's going to be celebrated here next week on Friday, November the 1st. And Denise, why don't you tell us a little bit about why the state of Texas sort of established their own version of Arbor Day?
Sure. Well, this is the first time that we're going to celebrate Texas Arbor Day, and it really fits Texas well because we always promote that fall is the best time for planting, especially trees. We have a much more milder fall as opposed to the springtime when National Arbor Day is celebrated. So it's nice to be able to celebrate trees twice in a year, both in different seasons, and they both lend themselves to a great opportunity to increase that amount of green space in our areas and provide all of those benefits the trees provide. We just automatically think shade because we have such a long, hot summer, but also they also provide a habitat to wildlife. They're a great place for recreation spots. People like to congregate. We were very lucky that in our hot climate that we can stand under a tree and cool off. So that's really a great place for people to kind of mix and congregate. And plus, you just feel a lot better when you're out in green space. So one of the biggest things that we're looking for Fall Arbor Day is really now's your chance to really get in some nice trees into your landscape. And there's a great selection of trees out there. The nurseries have been restocked for this season. So it's a great opportunity to go out there and start selecting your tree. And of course, it's always the right tree for this area.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we have John here, because I'm sure the Master Gardeners get a lot of questions about this. And I know we get questions also on the Good to Grow live shows. The right tree for the right place, planted at, you know, the right time. I think that's always important. And if somebody's maybe thinking of planting a tree, John, in their yard, obviously this is the best time to plant. But what other things do you think they need to take in consideration before they make that tree selection?
Okay, the first thing that people need to keep in mind when making tree selection is know the mature size of the tree. That is the number one biggest problem that you run across. Somebody sees a cute little tree in the nursery and they go, well, okay, I want this. I'm going to plant it out in my yard. And the tree might be, you know, 4 feet tall and inch in diameter or something. And so they go out and look in their yard, and they say, let's see, where should I put this tree? Let me put it over here, and we'll put it about 5 feet away from the house. Well, that tree is going to be 60 feet tall and 45 feet wide with about a 4-foot trunk on it. And they have no idea what they've just done, so they've set themselves up to, you know, either the tree's not going to grow as well, it's not going to reach its full mature size, because it more than likely is going to get cut down later because it's going to push the foundation up and, you know, cause lots of problems. So first thing is to know what that mature size of the plant's going to be and then plant it appropriately. You know, big trees should be at least 30 feet away from a house. And even those, some trees can be, you know, fill that area plus a little extra. So, again, looks on the size of the tree. But trees are valuable. They cast shade on the house to cut down on cooling costs. If you're placed on the south side of the house, they lose their, you know, deciduous tree, lose their leaves, allow sunlight in to warm the house. And, you know, rainfall interception, trees are great at catching rainfall and bringing it back down to the ground and not having a lot of runoff. So, you know, our big floods that we have here periodically from the multi-day rains,
yeah.
Trees actually help to hold a lot of that water and keep it from running off. So there's a lot of valuable things. So, but the most important thing is to, besides picking a good tree, is knowing the mature size on it. Because, you know, a lot of the mulberries that were planted in houses here, people planted them thinking just they were going to be 25-foot tree. And instead, they're monsters. And all you really need is one in the yard, and it would fill the whole yard. But we have other trees now that we're looking at, and, you know, we're trying to look at value, something that's going to live a long time, increase value to your property. And here in El Paso during the summer, you know, if you see the one parking spot, you know, there in the parking lot where there's one tree that's, you know, growing good and has a good shade cover on it, there'll be, you know, 50 cars parked around that tree. And so trees are valuable, and they, you know, probably get a 20-degree drop in temperature being under a tree versus being out in the broad sunlight.
And one thing about talking about installing a tree into your landscape, now we have such a large growth of houses in far east El Paso County, and for the most part, those lawns and those lots are quite small. So if we were looking to recommend to a new homeowner, what would be the best tree for that? I would think that it'd be something smaller, a small to medium-sized tree would actually, you know, benefit themselves with being in a good location for that lot and enough balance for the size that they'll be able to grow in.
Right. When you talk to somebody, usually they want a tree that's going to be evergreen, flowers all year round, doesn't create any trash. You know, you're looking for the ideal tree, and there isn't one. You're going to have a problem with everything. There's going to be something, you know, so you got to look at all the factors and decide, you know, what's going to happen. But with some of the smaller lot sizes, a good medium-sized tree, one tree will probably fill that lot, or not the entire lot, but, you know, if you were doing a backyard, really you just need basically one tree, maybe one even smaller tree, and that will pretty much fill your backyard. Now, if you put the tree towards your neighbor's wall, and then you start looking at that tree being, you know, 25, 30 feet wide.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be your neighbor's problem soon.
It's going to be in your neighbor's. And I've heard, you know, lots of calls about little neighbor problems, you know, leaves dropping in or seed dropping in, or, you know, your neighbor puts a pool in and all of a sudden your leaves are in his pool. And so you really want to be careful about situating trees that are going to overlap property lines, because neighbors change a lot. You know, so you may end up having a real nice neighbor, get along well, and then you may get a real nasty neighbor move in and doesn't want the leaves, doesn't, you know, goes out and cuts the limbs off your tree and, you know, does those kind of things. So you really, again, want to site that tree, you know, in your yard to where you're not getting a whole lot of overlap. So know the mature size. You know, a Chinese pistache is a nice tree. It's considered a medium-sized tree, mm-hmm. but for El Paso, it's probably considered a big tree. But it'll get about 30, 35 feet tall and probably about a 25-foot spread on it. And so measure out in your yard what 25 feet looks like and know that the shade is going to be cast off that tree is, you know, about 25 feet wide. So you want to think about what grasses you're going to plant under it, what plants you're going to plant under it. Because as the tree grows, and it's a fairly fast-growing tree, it will grow out, and then it'll cast shade. So Bermuda grass is not going to grow as good. Some of your plants will probably actually like the shade, but it's not going to be as dense as a mulberry. But, you know, the Chinese pistache would be a good one to look at as far as a medium-sized tree.
And they're pretty adaptable to most soils here because we have so many different kinds of soils.
Yeah, they really like to stay a little bit on the dry side. They're a good drought-tolerant tree. Too much water actually can create some problems. Again, you kind of want to know your soils a little bit. You know, have a sandy, well-drained soil, then you're probably in good shape. If you're in a heavier, you know, valley-type soil with clays and stuff, then you want to be real careful with your watering, because you can easily, you know, keep it too wet, rot a plant out. So the plant really needs to be something that likes a wet environment. So, again, tree selection is going to be important on it. Ash is a tree that's, you know, very commonly planted. Ash is actually a riparian tree, so it does like more water. And it's not a real xeriscape tree, so it needs more water. Mm-hmm. Ash trees, as they get older, we seem to run across more problems with leaf problems and leaf drop and things like that. And some areas of Texas, ash are known as trash trees, not ash trees. And so, you know, there's several oaks that are very, very nice for the area. There's some that will be extremely large, and then there's others that are medium size. We have a gray oak that's native to the area, a very pretty oak, and that's a medium-sized oak that could be put in a yard. Chinkapin oak is a oak that's grown kind of across kind of a midsection of the United States, but it does come down into the Chihuahuan Desert area, and the chinkapin oak is a good oak. It's a pretty oak. We have some here on campus that are beautiful. People have used them, and again, that'd be a medium-sized tree. We can mix in some smaller trees if you're going to move a little bit closer to the neighbor's property. And you can look at, you know, desert willow and, you know, some of our natives, golden leadball tree. Things like purple leaf plum are kind of known as short-lived trees. So they can be used, but just understand that they may only make it 25, 30 years, and then they may run into borer problems or something else where they get moved out. So you want to look at some things that last a little longer. A evergreen native tree is the Texas mountain laurel. Very pretty, beautiful bloom on it. It's evergreen. Right. Texas redbud. Another one that'd be a smaller tree. We're talking about, you know, 20 feet tall, and has the real bright fuchsia pink bloom or magenta bloom in the spring.
Sort of a shrubby, I guess, type tree, I guess you could
call
it.
It can be multi-trunk or kept as a single trunk, but it'll get about 20 feet in height. So it kind of depends on how you prune them, how you train them, you know, different things.
That's always a nice one for an early indicator of springtime,
right?
When those red buds start blooming. So
right.
They always have a different interest in the yard.
And we do have some, you know, Texas and Oklahoma red buds that are sold in the nursery trade, and they're, you know, larger leafed, a little bit thinner leaf. Sometimes you get a little more leaf damage on them here with our dry humidity and lack of rainfall.
Yeah, they're pretty unremarkable except for when they're blooming right at the beginning of spring.
Yeah, then they fade into the background.
Yeah, they really do. Yeah.
Some of them have a seed development on them after they go through the flowering stage, and they'll develop a little seed pod that has kind of a burgundy, dark brown color, so it actually gives you some winter interest.
Where's a good resource that maybe some of our listeners might want to go to or find out more about some of these trees?
Well, we have several sources. One, I mean, of course, they can go to the Chihuahuan Desert Garden webpage on the utep.edu/museum website and get information. The West Texas Urban Forestry Council, WTUFC.org, is also a site. And on that site, we have a tree planting guide that they can go to that's kind of put out by the Texas Forest Service. And it has a searchable database, so you can put in the different parameters you want, and then it'll pop up a list of trees that will fit those criteria that you mark. Okay, another one is treesaregood.org. It's part of a national organization, and you have a lot of good tree information on that site and, you know, information for homeowners and how to take care of trees.
Well, John White, the curator of the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens here on the UTEP campus, it's been great having you here in the studio again. Thanks so much, John.
Thank you, Norma. Thank you, Denise.
We want to thank you so much for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.